You would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at a passage here as the basis for our lesson this morning. We are in the middle of a series looking at some big words in the Bible. Some of these are words that maybe we're not familiar with, maybe we don't use all of the time, and maybe don't quite know exactly how to explain these. Maybe we have a vague concept about what it means, but maybe it's hard for us to answer someone if they're asking us, well, what does that word mean? And we don't really have a good answer for them. We've talked about already in the last two lessons about propitiation, the sacrifice that Jesus made to extend the mercy of God to us that allows us to be saved. We talked about reconciliation last week, that we can be one with God again. But here this week, we're talking about another one of these big words in the Bible. Not just that it is a longer word, but is one that is a significant word in the scheme of redemption. And then we're talking about the word sanctification here in our lesson today. So what does it mean to be sanctified? What does this term mean when we see it in the Bible? Well, we're going to start by reading these verses, Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 22, so we can see one of the passages that uses this word. Romans 6, 16 says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life." So that word is used a couple times in the text, that word sanctification. Well, what is it that we're referring to, or what is that word talking about when we see it in the scriptures? The Greek word is hagiosmos, where it refers to the being consecrated, which means to be set apart, but also carries with it the idea of purification, where one can be cleansed of sin. So there are two different ideas here, this consecration and that word hagiosmos. The word hagios is the word for that's translated holy in other verses, other passages in the Bible. So you can see, you take off the last three letters of this word, this Greek word, and you have the Greek word for holy. This is, when we think about sanctification, we're talking about being holy. And a lot of times we define being holy as being set apart. That's the idea behind this word. But it's not just being set apart in the sense of being separate. There's more to it than just being separate from what everything else is. You can have a bag of M&Ms and dump the M&Ms out on a table, and you can pick out all of the red M&Ms. Well, they're separate from the others. They're still M&Ms. They haven't changed what they are. They're set apart, but they're not what we're talking about here. This is something that is new and something that is different. That's why it's not just being consecrated, not just being set apart, it's also being purified. It also has with it that idea that our sins have been washed away. So when we think about Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, again, all these things that we're talking about here are possible because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. That his sacrifice was that propitiation sacrifice that extended mercy to us. His sacrifice was what allowed us to be reconciled to God and be one with him again. Well, his sacrifice on the cross enables us to be sanctified. Because of his sacrifice, we can be cleansed of our sins. And we can be, as we follow him, separate from the world and different from the world around us. So this is what we're talking about here when we look at the word sanctification. There is a setting apart, that we are set apart from the world, but also there is a cleansing of sin, that we are different now from the world. And we're going to see that as we look at some other passages. So what as we think about this concept of sanctification, being set apart, being consecrated, and being purified of our sins, this comes through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. A couple passages to remember on this, both in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer says that by this will we have been sanctified, we have been set apart, consecrated, purified of our sins. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That he offered his life on the cross. His body hung there on the cross. Why did he do that? It is so that we could be set apart. We could be sanctified. We could be his special people. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, one of the several passages in the book of Hebrews that makes this point. But it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 12, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus died on the cross for us. He offered his body there, gave his life on the cross, and shed his blood on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. All of that was necessary for our sanctification, so that we would be set apart, that we would be different from the world. But also, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is interesting as we think about this concept of sanctification. The Holy Spirit has a role in this as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. They said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Verse 3 talks about that we have a hope because Jesus has been raised from the dead, but we are born again to receive that hope or to have access to that hope. We're born again, but also verse 2 talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that through the work of the Spirit we are set apart, we are different. Think about what being sanctified means. It's not just the red M&Ms are separate from all of the other M&Ms. It's that there is something new and something different. You look over in John chapter 3. You think about what it is. How is that we become new and different? That we can be sanctified? The Spirit is involved in this. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And when Jesus talked to him, he said in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That verse that we read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 talked about being born again to a living hope. And it also mentioned that sanctifying work of the Spirit. Well, when Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus meant by this, in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This new birth that Jesus is describing here, we are buried with him in water, but we have the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that we are born of water and the Spirit. This sets us apart. Again, it's not someone just being dunked down in water in a pool somewhere, and well, that person's been born again. No, there's a sanctifying work, a setting apart. This is a new birth. This is not just someone getting wet. This is a new birth, a new creature. There's a new life that happens. But you have the sanctifying work of the Spirit. But also remember in John chapter 16, when Jesus gave his apostles the promise that he was going to send the Spirit to them, he said in chapter 16 and verse 13 of John, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, he will disclose to you what is to come. The Spirit, Jesus told his apostles, is going to guide you into all truth. Well, notice what Jesus said about truth in the next chapter, John 17 and verse 17. As he was praying to the Father, he said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Amen. So through the new birth, that we can be born again, and through the revelation that the Holy Spirit has delivered to us from God, we can be sanctified. We can be different. We are different from the world, forgiven of our sins, but set apart. We have been consecrated. But sanctification, because of this new birth, again, something different, something new. We are born again as a new creature. Sanctification is going to necessarily involve keeping ourselves from sin because we're a different person. We are a new creature in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talked about this idea of sanctification and tied it to this idea that we keep ourselves from sin. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, he says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And each one of you knows how to possess his own vessel in sanctification in honor. Not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God," meaning like those who are in the world. "You don't live as they live. They give themselves over to all sorts of different sins, including sexual immorality," as he mentions here in this passage. You don't live like that. You don't follow that. Verse 6, "And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." Again, we're going back to what the Holy Spirit does in sanctifying us, causing us to be born again, and has revealed the truth to us. Well, God has called us for the purpose of sanctification, that we will be different, that we will be set apart. We will not live as the world lives. We are not conformed to the world, but transformed, as Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us. And in that passage that was read earlier, in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16, it talks about how we are to be obedient children, that we are not conformed to the lust that we engaged in before. We are to be holy as God is holy. And again, that word, that hagiosmos, that's translated sanctification, you shorten that to hagios, that's the word for holy. You shall be holy as I am holy. We are called to be like God, not like the world. And that means we have to separate ourselves or put sin away from us. Separate ourselves from those sinful practices that we engaged in before. And if you look over in Hebrews chapter 12, this is something that we are actively trying to do. That we are actively trying to do the Lord's will. To live for Him and not live as the world lives. In Hebrews 12 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer said, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." You pursue peace. But just as you're pursuing peace, you also pursue this sanctification. You pursue this state of being different from the world, separate from the world, that you've put away sin. And you've given that up and now you are following Christ. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there's another way that this term is used. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, he says there in verse 2, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." You have these ones who are saints. That word means holy ones. These ones who have been sanctified. Who are the ones who have been sanctified? According to this verse, it's those who are in the church. Those who are in the church are those who have been sanctified. They are known as saints because they are holy. They're separate. They're set apart for God's purpose. And if you think about what the term, the Greek word that is translated church, what that means, the Greek word is ekklesia. And that is a compound word, which means one is called out of something. We have been called out of the world. We have been called out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of light, as Colossians 1 and verse 13 says. We have been called out of the world. Well, it means we've been called to be different, not to be like the world, but we've been called to be saints, called to be sanctified, set apart, consecrated, purified from our sins. So understanding a little bit of the concept here about sanctification and what that means, I want us to go back to our text in Romans chapter 6 and see what this looks like in that context. Understanding what sanctification means, what is Paul saying there in those verses? Well, as we began reading in verse 16, he talked about a change that had taken place. Again, not separating the red M&Ms and say, well, that's different now. No, they're still M&Ms. They still taste just the same. There's no difference between them other than the color. This is not what we're talking about. That's not the separation. This is something new and something different. Paul said there has been a change that has taken place. That you present yourself as slaves of obedience, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. He said in verse 17 that you were slaves of sin. You'd given yourselves over to sin. But now you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching you were committed. You are different now. You are no longer slaves of sin. He said earlier in this chapter in verse 6 that our old self was crucified with him and that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And again, that passage that was read in the scripture reading talks about being obedient children, that we have a change has taken place. We are not slaves of sin anymore. We don't live for sin. It doesn't mean that we are sinlessly perfect. We do fall from time to time. But we are no longer giving ourselves over to that. We are striving every day to serve a different master, to be servants of righteousness. So there is a change that has taken place. Without this change, there is no sanctification. There is no holiness. There is no, we cannot be called saints. A change had to have taken place. No longer slaves of sin, but now we are slaves of righteousness. And we talked about that passage in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, that sanctification is something that we pursue. This is what we do here. Paul described this in Romans chapter 6, that you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, that you make the choice. This is the master that I'm going to serve. Sadly, most in the world have said, I'm going to serve my own desires. I'm going to serve my own lusts. I'm going to serve sin. That's going to be the master that I obey. But Paul says here, you present yourselves as servants or as slaves to the one you obey as Christians. That means you present yourselves as servants or slaves of God. That you became obedient, as verse 17 says. That this is a choice that has been made. We choose to do this. And if we choose instead to continue in sin, we talked about the passages that mentioned the will of God. The will of God is your sanctification, as 1 Thessalonians 4 said. If we choose to say, well, I'm just going to follow sin, we cannot fulfill the will of God. We cannot be pleasing to Him. We will not be set apart for His purpose. This is something that we have to choose. We have to decide this is what we're going to do. We are going to pursue this. And also, it includes becoming obedient to a form of teaching. Verse 17 here of Romans chapter 6, you were slaves of sin, but a change took place. And in that change, when that change took place, it says you were obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. Well, what is that form of teaching that he's talking about here? Well, something that he mentioned earlier in the chapter. What had they become obedient to? Well, verse 3 of this chapter, Romans chapter 6, He says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We talked about this idea of being born again, of having a new life in Christ. We are born of water and of the Spirit. That's what Paul is describing here. That we became obedient to that form of teaching. Well, what was that form of teaching? That we obeyed the gospel. We conformed to the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. That's what, when someone is baptized into Christ, that is what they are reenacting. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. When we obey the gospel, we die to sin. We decide we're going to put that behind us. We're not going to live for sin anymore. We're no longer to be slaves of sin. We are buried in the waters of baptism, and then we are raised to walk in newness of life, that we have a new life where we are now serving the Lord rather than serving whatever we chose to serve in the past. But we talked about sanctification, how it's tied to being born again, the work of the Spirit. We are born of water and of the Spirit, that there is a new life that's there, a new existence, a new identity. This is what Paul's talking about here. You became obedient to that form of teaching. You were buried with Christ in baptism, and you're raised to walk in newness of life. Not raised and, well, you've been forgiven, but you can just go back and live in sin the way you did before. A lot of people think that you can do that. That you can just live in sin and it does not matter. Say, well, I've become a Christian, so I can just do whatever I want now. No, you walk in newness of life. That you have a new life, a different life. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talked about this idea of newness of life. When he wrote to the brethren in Corinth about the things that they had given up, they were no longer slaves of sin. They were, as we read through 1 Corinthians, they still had some things they needed to address, but they were not living as they used to live. He says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But he says in verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. You were washed of your sins. You're born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. Our sins have been washed away. Now you have been sanctified. You've been set apart for God's purpose. Again, you have been cleansed of your sins, and now you are set apart for Him. Both of those are in this term. You have a new life in Christ. And He says you were justified. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that word in our lesson next week, about justification. But He says you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. You had engaged in sins like these, and now you've given those up, and now you're serving the Lord. You obeyed the gospel and raised to walk in newness of life. And we see, going back to Romans chapter 6, is that God has given us every reason to choose to obey Him. We talked about the fact that this is something that we choose. We have to pursue Him, pursue sanctification. We have to make the choice that we are either going to obey sin or obey the Lord. We have a decision to make. Well, God has given us every reason to choose to make the right decision. He says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, that you could just live any way you want to. We have free will. We can choose to live how we want to live. But then he said in verse 21, what benefit were you deriving from those things of which you are now ashamed? You used to engage in all sorts of sinful behaviors. Well, what good did it do you? And we could ask people in the world today who have not obeyed the gospel, have not become Christians, what is the purpose? All the things that you're doing that you think you want to pursue, where is it getting you? What is it accomplishing? What good is it doing? What benefit is there from those things of which you are now ashamed? But it says in verse 22, But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, in the outcome, eternal life. That we are God's special people, not just here, but for eternal life. We have the hope in heaven. In the next verse, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have hope of eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross. We can be sanctified. We can be set apart and cleansed of our sins. So Jesus, he died on the cross to provide forgiveness. And because he provides forgiveness, we can be reconciled to God, as we talked about last week. We can be one with him. We can have fellowship with him. But as we see in Romans chapter 6, the way we take advantage of that is by obeying the gospel, by being obedient from the heart to that form of teaching, which includes dying to sin, being buried with Christ in baptism, and then being raised to walk in newness of life. And we're going to be different from that point forward because we are serving a different master. No longer slave of sin, but now we are serving the Lord and practicing righteousness. So since Jesus died on the cross for us, we need to make the decision that we are going to live our lives for him. And if we'll do that, we have the hope of eternal life. And so we close the lesson and extend the invitation to anyone who needs to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you recognize he did die on the cross. And he shed his blood there. He offered his body that was hung on the cross. He did that so that I could be forgiven. And I could be one of his special people. You recognize that, but you haven't taken advantage of what we've talked about here this morning. You can be set apart. You can be separate. You can be one of God's special people by obeying the gospel, believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and then being baptized to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have not followed the will of God in freeing yourselves from sin, but you've gone and decided, I'm going to be a servant of sin in maybe not in every area of your life, but maybe certain areas of your life, then you need to repent of that and to pray to God and ask him for forgiveness. And if we could help you or encourage you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.